Exodus chapter 33. You've got a friend. Exodus chapter 33. Will you please stand with me as we read from the precious, the holy word of the living God. Verse 7 says, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the Tabernacle, that all the people rose and each man stood at the door of his tent and watched Moses until he had gone into the Tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the Tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the Tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle, standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. You've got a friend. Let us pray. Wade, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Friends. We use that word a lot. How many of you have friends? Would you just say amen? Amen. Amen. Do you know what the term means, friend? We use it a lot. Sometimes I think we might even take it for granted. I mean, we've wrote songs about it. I love songs. We wrote songs. The great philosopher James Taylor. You young ones probably don't know him. But he once wrote, winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the best part. You've got a friend. Y'all remember that one? Amen. That was back when music was good and you could still understand the words. Lean on me when you're not strong. I'm saving y'all. You know, I'm not like Bruce Betts. You don't want me to take off singing. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your
friend.
I'll help you carry on. Whoa, yeah. I can do the yes and the woes. You know, we sing about it, we talk about it, but do you know what it is? Do you know what true friendship is? Webster says, friends are those who are attached to one another by affection or a favored companion. You may have your own definition. I may have my own definition. Today, I want to see what it looks like to be a friend. And we start with friends are faithful. Friends are faithful. Moses, at this point, is in a very discouraged state of mind. Now, we've been studying this for quite a while. And y'all know that last week we studied where Israel, Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the law from God. The law of God. All the while, the children of Israel were down below. And after 40 days and 40 nights, they decided they didn't know what happened to Moses. And so they went to Aaron and said, Aaron, build us a God. Make us a God. So Aaron listened to them, took their gold, and formed a golden calf. And ultimately, they bowed down and worshipped. And you can just imagine the point that Moses is. I mean, his life has been all about bringing them to be a people of the living God. And now they've just finished bowing down to a golden calf. And so Moses is hurt. He is deeply discouraged, and so he responds to that by taking his tent out of the camp. And it says he pitched that tent far from the camp. And you know why he did that? He wanted to get away from them. You ever had people you wanted to get away from before? I can just see him. If he'd have been a preacher today, he'd have told his wife, "Pack your bags, honey, we're gone." If he'd have been a Sunday school teacher, he'd have said, "Y'all can have this class." You know. He's packed up his tent, he's carried it through the camp, outside the camp, and he gets as far away to where he thinks, "I'm away from these people," and he builds his tent back. And he calls this the Tabernacle of Meeting. Of course, the design, the idea behind that was that Moses had a desperate need to meet with God. You know, I said a while ago, if he was a preacher, he would have said, "Pack your bags, honey," to his wife, "we're leaving." You know, sometimes we do that in this life. You know, we throw up our hands and quit. But I've got to admire Moses' response. Moses, it wasn't, "I quit, I've had enough." It was, "I've got to talk to God. I've got to have some alone time, one-on-one with God." And guess what happened? In the text that we read, it said, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Can you imagine that conversation? Can you imagine what that looked like? And I want to begin with you today by sharing with you that no matter where you are in this life, we do have a faithful friend. A place that we can go, no matter how bad you think things are, no matter how out of control your life seems to be, no matter how people are abusing you, there is a place you can go that you'll never be turned away. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 24. A man who finds friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I have learned through my ministry and through life this one thing. I need people. I need people I can count on. I need people I can go to. I need people just to be an encouragement. I need people to tell me the truth. And it's those kind of people that I would say are my friends. But I want to tell you, I need more than people. I need a friend in God. Because there are so many times that people can't do anything to help me. There are so many times that I face problems and issues and challenges as a pastor that there's just no help in this world. But there is a friend that sticks closer to a brother. James chapter 4 verse 8 tells us to draw near to God and He will draw near to you. There's a friend just waiting for you to come. Oh, listen, have you ever been in that point where you felt life wasn't right? You know the best move you can make to make life right is to meet with God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Now, notice it doesn't say draw near to God and give Him money, because some of us don't have money. It doesn't say draw near to God and work, because some of us can't work. What does it say? It says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. I want you to get this first and foremost. For you to understand the intent behind this message, you have to understand that you need a friend and that you have a friend in Jesus Christ. Draw near to God and our all-time favorite, be still and know that I am God. What's all those talking about, those times where you pitch a tent, a tabernacle of meeting outside the camp of the world, and you just say, God, we need to talk. God, I got some things I got to get off my chest. Lord, I need your help. You, my friend, if you are a child of God, if you've experienced the salvation bought and paid for by Jesus Christ, you have a friend when everybody else forsakes you that'll always be there to respond to your call. And you know what? Here's what we can learn about friends. Friends are forthright. After Moses pitches his tent and it said, God speaks to him face to face like a man talks to his friend. Then Moses begins to pour out his heart. And in verse 12 of this same chapter it says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. And I want you to get this. He's getting kind of a little pushy here. Like, God, I don't like where I am. Pushy. Okay? Then Moses said, Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you've said, I know you by name. And you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider this nation your people. And he said, my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. Do you see what Moses is doing? He's complaining. Have you ever complained to God? I want to tell you something. It's okay. Now, it just depends on how you complain. Moses is not being disrespectful. But he is protesting where he is. He tells God, God, you told me, bring up these people. And now you tell me, you're not going, but I'll send my angel before you. But God, you haven't introduced this angel to me. I don't know this angel. I only know you, God. I don't feel good about this, Lord. God, you said I know you by name. And by that, he's talking about I've chosen you. I have singled you out and selected you for this mission to lead my people. And God, now you say you're not going to go with us. God, if you're not going, I don't want to go. God, you said I found grace in your sight. You see him just pouring himself out before God. As a man talks to a friend, God, you've said I found grace in your sight. How am I supposed to lead these people when you're not there? Lord, I don't feel like I found grace in your sight. Have you ever been there? Been serving the Lord? Doing what you know you're called to do and things just aren't going right and you just don't feel, and you know you can read the Bible and you can see how blessed you are, but you know deep down inside you don't feel real blessed. That's where Moses is. Lonely, discouraged. And I want to tell you something, it's okay to be discouraged from time to time. It's okay to say, God, I don't like it here. Now, it's not okay to say, God, I don't like it here and I'm not taking this anymore. I quit. That's not what most... It's okay to say, God, I don't understand what's going on. Why isn't this working, Lord? I'm trying to do what you call me to do. Lord, I don't understand. As a matter of fact, you'll find that it's in those times that you can have some of the sweetest fellowship with God that you've ever had before. Moses was not disrespectful toward God, but he just shared his heart. And that's what friends do, share their heart. So often our prayer life is, Lord, bless us, bless them, amen, here we go. You know what God wants from you? He wants you to share your heart. How do you feel? What's going on? And I'm not getting all touchy-feely, emotional. But you know, that's what friendship is. Where you share how you really feel with God. Where you share your joys. Lord, I'm excited. Great things are happening. Lord, share with Him how you really feel. Let Him be your friend. But also share with Him when you're not feeling like you found grace in His sight. Share it. That's what friends do. After Moses protested there, he finally gets to his request. I like that he didn't just stop with complaining. That's often what we do. Said in verse 13, "Now therefore I pray." Lord, now therefore I pray. You can see him just pouring out his heart to God, his friend. I pray, show me your way. Lord, we're at the point, I've got to know what to do next. Show me where to go from here. Lord, I don't know what to do. That I may know you, God. That I may... You say I found grace in your sight, but Lord, I don't know your way. I don't know what you want. I don't know what you expect of me at this point. Lord, finally, you see, God has said, I'm not going because if I go, I'm going to consume this people. I'm going to wipe them out. They are a stubborn and a stiff-necked group of people. And Moses said, God, finally, show me what I can do so that you will look at Israel as your people again. I'm their leader. And you got to love his heart here. Okay? He's not in it for his glory. He's in it for the glory of God and for the goodness of the people. Moses makes this request, and you know what? God responds. God says, my presence will go with you. And I do want you to notice, my presence will go with you. It's talking about Moses there. Okay, Moses, I'm going to go with you. And the people, children of Israel are going to benefit from it, but Moses, I'm going with you. And you know what else he said? And he said, Moses, I'm going to give you rest. You see, that's what you need when you get to that point where you don't know what to do and you've carried the load as long as you can carry it. And you just don't know where else to turn. You need rest. And that's what God said. Moses, I know you're carrying a load that you're not designed to carry. So Moses, I'm going to tell you what. I got this, buddy. I love that. I'm going to give you rest. Moses didn't even ask for rest. But God knew what he needed. You see, that's what friends are. Yeah, I've been married to Beth for 31 years. She's my best friend. And you know the thing about Beth is she can finish my sentences before I do. Anybody that's married, can y'all do that? You know why she can do that? Because she knows me. She knows me. A lot of times she can tell you what I... Most of the time she can tell you what I would say even before I'd say it. Because she knows me. And when we're talking about friends with God, guess what? He knows you. He knows what you need. And a lot of times when we get in this time of discouragement and despair, a lot of times when we just pour our heart out to God, we don't know what we need. We just know that we can't stand where we are anymore. And that's where Moses was. God said, Moses, I'll be with you. And buddy, I got this. I'll carry the load. I love Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the friend that you have in God, child of God. That place that you can go. And I tell you, a lot of times we get there and we realize we're carrying a lot more than we have to carry. Because God is the God of the universe. He's the one that's truly in control. You know what bugs me sometimes? It really bugs me that I can't change things. I can't change things. I can't fix my kids when something's wrong. I can't fix the church when something's wrong. I can't fix all the stuff that I want. But you know who can? My friend God. That's why it is so vital that you understand what Moses is going through. Because the God that Moses served is the same God that's alive, well, and in control today. Then finally, friends enjoy intimate fellowship. Grab this. Okay, grab this. Verse 18, short verse. After all that, Moses asked, and God says, okay, Moses, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. And I'll give you rest. And most of us would stop there. Most of us would say, okay, Lord, thank you so much. That's such a relief. I've prayed, I've gotten what I need, and that's enough. But Moses didn't quit there. You know, verse 18. Moses said, please show me your glory. Wow. What a request. I mean, you know, we've gone from I want to Lord, show me your glory. I want to know you. A literal translation here is God, cause me to know your glory. Display your glory before me. And you see, the bottom line is Moses just getting what he's asked for is not enough. He wants more. And God says, as the relationship grows, God says, okay, Moses, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. I will declare the name of Yahweh before you. Moses, you can't see my face. God told Moses he can't look upon me or see my face. No man has seen me and lived. Problem is, there's such glory wrapped up in God that Moses in his sinful fleshly body could not have stood the glory. It would have killed him. But God said, Moses, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to pass by. And when I pass by, Moses, I'm going to put my hand to cover you so that you don't look on my face and die. Then after I've passed, I'll remove my hand and you can see my back. I want to tell you what that looked like. But I can't. I can't imagine, okay, what Moses experienced there. I cannot. I mean, this is something you don't see with God do very often. Well, this is the one case, as a matter of fact. But you know, the thing that I do get there is Moses experienced something that nobody else had ever experienced. And I want to ask you, how do you treat God in your friendship? So often I found myself like I'm pulling up to McDonald's drive-through window and say, God, I'll have a number two and make it a large. And we pull around and we get what we want and we go on. And beloved, if that's what our prayer life is, we are absolutely blowing an opportunity to have a friendship with Almighty God. I'm talking about a friendship. Okay? Lord, give me what I want. Amen and thank you. No. Do you ever just pray, God, I want to know you like I've never known you before. God, show me your glory. Show me what I can take at this point. As a matter of fact, that was the point of it. I want more. If you've seen those AT&T commercials with little kids, I want more, I want more. Bigger's better. You know? Every time I see one, I smile. It's cute. You know, these kids. But you know what? The reality is, we want more of everything. We want more money. We want more. We want bigger homes. We want better jobs. We want nicer cars. We want better toys. We want more of everything except when it comes to God. And we don't seem to want more of God. And the sad part about it is, we're missing out on the best relationship opportunity that is available to anyone. I want to challenge you today to have the attitude in 2014, God, I want more. And I'm not talking about selfishness. I'm not talking about self-centeredness. I'm talking about in relationship with Christ. God, I want to know You like I've never known You before. You see, there are a lot of people who want enough of God to clear their conscience. There are a lot of people who want enough of God to get them out of trouble when things are going bad. But few people want to make Him the God of their life. And the sad thing about it, that is, they're the ones that are missing. They're missing the joy and the beauty of relationship. God's not a friend that you call when you need help and then put Him on a shelf until bad things happen again and you call on Him again. God's a friend that you get to know and you grow and love with each passing day. Now my question. We've sung, what a friend we have in Jesus. But let's stop just a minute. Have you ever made Him the Lord of your life? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If so, you know, I've asked that question to many people, and many people have told me, oh, Brother Doug, I pray all the time. Didn't ask you if you pray. Oh, Brother Doug, I'm a member of the church. Didn't ask you if you're a member of the church. Oh, Brother Doug, I didn't ask you. What I ask you is, have you come to the point where you called upon Jesus Christ asking Him to be your Savior? If you've never done that, you don't have a friend in Jesus. Unless you say, you mean Jesus is not my friend? No, the Bible describes it. You know, you're either for us or against us, Jesus said. You're either on God's side or you're not. There's no straddling the fence. There's no halfway. Have you ever committed your life to Christ? Now, if you haven't, I do share this with you. Jesus loves you. He loves you. You know, and it doesn't matter. I've done these really bad things. It doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus. Jesus died for you so that you could have eternal life and so you could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Okay? And it is not a surprise to God that you're a bad person. Okay? God knows. He knows that I'm not a good guy. Old Doug Hambrick's done things. Oh, goodness gracious, he should have known far better than that. God knows all that. But you know what? It's described as great love, wherein, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you called on Jesus Christ, making Him the Lord of your life? If not, great opportunity to begin a relationship, a friendship today with Jesus. If you've called on Jesus, if you know that you're a child of God, let me ask you, how's your relationship with Him? Have you treated Him as that fair-weathered friend, the McDonald's drive-through? God, I'll have this, this, and this. Amen. Not worry about Him anymore until trouble comes. That's not what God's looking for in you. Where are you in your relationship? If you're not pursuing God, if you're not desiring to know more and to grow in relationship, you're backslidden. And it's time to come back and renew that friendship, that relationship that God wants you to have. Whatever your spiritual need is, I leave you with this advice. You've got a friend. And that friend is Jesus. The altar's open for you. I will be here. Brother Greg, Brother Michael will be here if you need to talk. But I just ask you, respond to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank You for the day. Thank You, Lord, for this great example of relationship that we read about in Moses had with You. And Lord, we're just reminded today what a opportunity that we have to know You and to grow in You and to be close to You and to know the joy of being your child. And now, Lord, I pray that today your will be done in this service, that you will move among us, that, Lord, in this invitation, we'll all come to know you in new and mighty and greater ways. In Jesus' name, amen.